I'm sure I've talked about this before, but I'm going to again. And that is the fact of just how amazed I am of the places that this podcast reaches. Averages over 200 people a day listening in, over 1,500 a week. Now, I never spoke to more than 100, maybe 125 people in a week before. And now I have people from Vietnam, Egypt, New Zealand, Indonesia, France, England, Russia, all over. They're listening, you know, all over the United States. Now, I was thinking the other day, you know, if I charged a dollar for each person that listened, you know, I'd make over $80,000 a year. I'd be rich. But the truth is, if I charged a dollar, I'd probably only make about $80 a year. Because people would think, you know, I don't need to pay this guy any money when I can go to listen to all these hundreds of others for free. And I didn't get into this to make money, that's for sure. I started doing this because God gave me the opportunity to do it. And I started doing it to more for me than anybody else, to keep me focused on what I should be doing and how I should be living, you know, the example I need to have my life be for people that are listening, I guess. But it just really amazes me that God has given me the opportunity to bring his word to so many people, you know, hundreds of people a week. And that's just blows my mind, okay? Now, has anybody through listening to what I've had to say made a commitment to Christ, you know, turned their life over to Christ and become a believer? I don't know. Has anyone gotten any closer to the Lord because of anything that they've heard me say and, you know, has enriched their relationship with the Lord? I don't know. Has anybody thought, you know, this guy should not be doing this? You know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And when he sings, you know, it sounds like a cow that's in trouble. And so he just should not be doing what he's doing. I don't know. You know, all of those things are possibilities along with many more. That's one reason why every once in a while I mention the fact that I have a Facebook page. It's for As Is Ministries. Okay, As Is Ministries. Because God takes us just like we are. Okay, God doesn't say, you know, I'd really like you to be a child of mine, but you got a lot of junk in your life, you know, and, you know, it's really not good to have my children, you know, having all that garbage in their lives. And so once you clean your act up, then come on back to me. Now, God says, you know, you got a lot of junk in your life, but that's okay, because we're going to work on that. Okay? You and me together, you know, we're going to see what my word says, and we're going to work on that. So come on, be my child. So that's the ministry that the Lord had laid on my heart several years ago. I didn't start anything until 4 years ago, I guess it was now. But if you want to let me know, good, the bad, the ugly, go to my Facebook page and leave me a message. To encourage, to discourage, to give me some pointers, to, you know, ask me to clarify something, you know, whatever it might be. You know, if you're on Facebook, look up As Is Ministries and let me know. But let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for your word, and Lord, for the means that there are to get your word out there to people. That, Lord, some people don't have the opportunity to go to any church at all. They live in a place where, you know, it's just not a good idea, I guess, to be a Christian, because they live in a country where, you know, if you're a Christian or you have a Bible, you know, you can end up being thrown in prison or losing your life. And somehow they're able to use one of the means that you have given us to hear your word. And Lord, some people just don't go to church. You know, they may live down the street from two or three churches, and they just don't go for whatever reason. But Lord, I just pray that more and more people will listen, not just to me. I mean, it would be great if there was 2,000 a day listening instead of 200 a day. And if that's what you want to have happen, it's going to happen, okay? So, Lord, we just put that in your hands. But, Lord, as we look at your word today, Lord, I'm going to look at something that's pretty familiar to most Christians. And so, Lord, just help us to listen for something new, something that's been there for hundreds of years, but you're going to turn a light on today, maybe for somebody, just like you do for me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, I'm going to use something that's familiar to most anybody. If you went to Vacation Bible School or you went to Sunday school as a kid, you know, you probably heard this story. You know, the teacher maybe had a flannel graph and, you know, kind of acted it out for you, whatever it might be. And so, you know, I'm not giving you anything that you probably haven't heard before, but I want to kind of lead in to this story. Because maybe sometimes at VBS or Sunday school, they just kind of gave you the meat of the story and didn't give you the appetizer. And so that's what I'm going to do. Okay, Daniel chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, being the modest person that he was, he built this gold statue. And not just any gold statue, okay? This sucker was 90 feet high, tall as a nine-story building and 9 feet wide. Okay, and so it was probably at least 9 feet thick, so it's going to stand up upright. Now, the statue may or may not have been a resemblance of the king. Okay, some Bible scholars say that it was supposed to be looking like him. Some say, you know, it was just a whatever statue. That's not important. It probably was not solid gold, but it was gold-plated. But still, that's an awful lot of gold. You know, a statue that's 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and however deep, for it to be covered in gold. So, in verses 2 and 3 of Daniel chapter 3, that all these important people had come to the dedication of this statue. You know, there was governors and judges and all these officials and all these big shots that came for this. And in verses 4 to 6, it tells us about the statue's purpose. Okay, and this is a New Living Translation. It says, "Then a herald shouted out, 'People of all races and nations and language, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow down to worship the King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace.'" That's a good way to get people to bow down, I guess. At least that's what Nebuchadnezzar thought. So in verse 7, he says, "Well, let's test this out. Okay, strike up the band here, and let's see if people are going to bow down." Well, verses 8 through 12, some whiny astrologers go to King Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 12, it says, "There are some Jews who you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up." Now, note what they said. You know, you have set these people up over the affairs of the country. Okay, so in other words, this is a problem that you brought on yourself here, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, nobody did this but you, because you put them in charge. Well, verses 13 to 15, King Nebuchadnezzar, he is ticked. Okay, and so he sends for those three gentlemen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he gives them a second chance. He kind of explains it to them, you know, now, you know, this is what's supposed to happen, you know, and, you know, I built this, and I want everybody to bow down to it, and all, and so, you know, I can get the band play again and see. But in verse 15, he says, then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So in other words, if you still decide not to bow down, who's going to rescue you, boys? Okay. Well, verses 16 to 18 is their response to the king. From the New Living Translation, it says, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he does not, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Now, two things there. One, they know that God has the power to save them. Okay, that's what they said. Yep, he's able. You know, you throw us in, he can save us. And the second thing, which is maybe even more important, is they said, we're ready to die. You know, we're going to die for our God, even if he doesn't save us. You know, we know that he can, but if God sees fit to not save us, hey, that's okay. We're ready to die. These guys had huge, huge faith. Well, verses 19 to 23, old King Nebuchadnezzar, he is really mad now. Verse 19, it says, he was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. Well, they went out and they found the strongest men that they could, and the three were bound with their clothes on, everything. And they were thrown into the furnace. And this furnace was so hot that the men that threw them into the furnace, they all died. Well, then the story takes the turn that we're familiar with. Okay, verses 24 and 25. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men, unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. Okay, it says that he jumped up in amazement. Man, if I saw something like that, that would be an understatement to see something like that was happening. But Nebuchadnezzar could not believe what he was seeing. That's why he said, you know, didn't we put just three men in there? You know, where'd this fourth guy come from? You know, did one of the guards fall in or something? You know, shouldn't there just be three in there? And they're just in there walking around. They're not even bound up anymore. Well, verses 26 and 27 tells us this. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, governors, officials, the advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. There was only one thing the king could say in verse 28 and 29. Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to come rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except for their own God. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak one word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. And to that, there's only one thing that we can say, amen. So after all this, and the decree, and no harm to the three guys, they all got promotions. So why are we going to this familiar story? You know, what are we going to learn here, hopefully? And that is, it's a story of great faith, a story of how God can rescue us. Now, you might be thinking, you know, hey, that's really great how it turned out for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but it didn't happen like that to me. You know, you were probably not thrown into a fiery furnace, but you've gone through a trial, or maybe you're in the furnace right now, and you're looking around and saying, okay, God, where's my angel? You know, who's coming here? Who's going to rescue me? You know, I read the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm still burning. Now, I can only answer this for myself, but honestly, I don't think that my faith is equal to that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, I know my faith is not equal to theirs. I'd like to think so, but I don't really think it is. So why are we at this familiar story? We're here for a faith checkup. Let me set this up for you, why I decided to have this message, why the Lord decided for me to have this message. Diane and I go to the City of Life Church in Orlando, and it's Hillsong Church. And there was this woman that was sitting in front of us this past Sunday, and she had this t-shirt on that, I don't know what said on the front, but on the back, it said, "There's another in the fire." And I read that, and I thought, "There's another in the fire. There's another in the fire. What? Oh, yeah, I get that." So I had to check out, you know, why, you know, the t-shirt. And a Hillsong song in the chorus says, "There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the sea. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there's a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There's another in the fire." So that inspired me to go to this familiar passage. And I know that most, or maybe all, Christians need to be reminded, at least sometimes, that we're not alone. No matter what the situation is that you're going through, God's there. Now, God never promised us a pain-free life. God never promised to remove all the trials from us. That, you know, before you were a believer, you were going through all this stuff, and you thought, oh, I can just become a believer, and then all this stuff's going to just be gone. I won't have to deal with this anymore. No, God didn't say that. Okay, I mean, some people think that. Some people might tell you that, but the scriptures don't tell us that. So God never promised to keep us from sickness. He didn't promise to keep us from debt. He didn't promise to keep us from bad relationships. Okay, like the old song says, "I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometime." And how true that is. Okay, as believers, we know that. Okay, but Jesus did promise us this, okay? In John 15:18 and 19, the Passion Translation, it says, Just remember, when the unbelieving world hates you, they hated me first. If you were to give your allegiance to the world, they would love and welcome you as one of their own. But because you won't align yourself with the values of the world, they will hate you. I've chosen you and taken you out of the world to be mine. Okay, so the promise, life's not going to be that rose garden. Okay, and the word there for hate is to persecute, detest, or to hate. But Jesus is going to be with us through that hatred and persecution. Does that make it easy? No. To make it easier? Yeah. God didn't remove Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego from the fire. Okay, he didn't, you know, have the fire go out before they got there. You know, that no matter what they tried, they couldn't get the fire to burn. You know, that didn't happen. You know, or once they got in there, he didn't, you know, make it rain in this furnace and put the fire out. No, God didn't do that. What God did instead was he joined them. Would they have liked to have been removed or not have to go in the furnace? Yeah. I mean, they said they would die for God, but they probably thinking, you know, I really don't want to. I mean, I'm going to do it for my Lord, but, you know, I burned myself a few times and it really hurts. And so I really don't want to, excuse me, I really don't want to have to die by being burned. But just think that just the trauma of being thrown into that furnace, you know, they said God's going to save us. If he doesn't, that's okay. But still, once they were getting to that furnace and going to get thrown in there, they had to be thinking, you know, I know I'm going to do this, and I know that God will rescue me, or if not, that's okay. But this is really hot, and I can feel it. I'm not even there yet. God just tells us to think just the trauma of a divorce, the trauma of a sickness for ourselves or someone we love, the trauma of the finances. You know, that's devastating just on its own. You know, not dealing with it itself, but just knowing that, you know, your spouse left you, or knowing that the doctor just said cancer, you know, we can't operate, or knowing that, you know, you got a thing saying, you know, if you don't pay the last 6 months' mortgage payments, we're taking your house tomorrow, or when the truck comes to take away your vehicle or whatever, or to get that slip saying, you know, the job that you thought was going to last forever, you know, it's ending today. You know, just those things alone are devastating, you know, without having to go through them. But you know what I think? I think God was in the furnace before they got there. Now, it's disputed as to who was in the fire with it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In verse 25, the King James, it says, it looked like the Son of God. New Living Translation says it looks like a God. Now remember, Nebuchadnezzar believed in all kinds of gods, you know, gods of, you know, lunch, gods of the sky, gods of whatever. And so he's saying it, you know, looks like a God. And the NIV says it looks like a son of the gods, whatever, whoever. My point is this: God or whoever God sent was already there. Why would I think that? Verse 27, it says that after they came out of the furnace, okay, it says they, meaning all those important people that were there, saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of smoke on them. How else could that have happened without God's hand on them when they were first thrown into the furnace? Verse 22 tells us that those that put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, they were killed, you know, right on the spot. So God's hand was on them even before the furnace. Because if they're being put into the furnace and the people that are putting them into the furnace die, why didn't they die? Okay? So probably God's hand was protecting them back in verses 16 through 18 when they said, and this is my paraphrase, we're not going to bow down to you, Nebuchadnezzar, you or this statue that you've made. Okay? Because God's going to deliver us. And if he doesn't, that's okay. God's hand had to be on them even then. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know what God was going to write in Timothy hundreds of years later. But in 2 Timothy 1:7, the King James and the New Living Translation are pretty close, where it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." A good verse for most of us believers today to read and to study. Because when we know that God is with us, we can stand strong. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego probably did know Deuteronomy 31:6, which says, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. You will neither fail nor will he abandon you." So you knew that was going to come. You know, God will never leave you or abandon you. Listen to how the message puts it. It says, "Be strong, take courage, don't be intimidated. Don't give them a second thought, because your God is striding ahead of you. He is right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you." And that's what the writer of Hebrews 13:5 was quoting. And it's still true today. God hasn't changed, but unfortunately, a lot of his children have. Now, not totally, because we hear of people being martyred, you know, even today. And actually, there's more people being martyred now than any other time in history, even in the early church. But I think that there's many Christians today that if they were faced with being thrown in the furnace, man, they would fold like a fitted sheet. Okay? Now, there's a few Daniels and a few Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's, but there's few who would say, "Do what you want to me," and then follow through with it. Now, all of us as believers can say, "Do what you want to me," but we've never been faced, most of us anyways, with a situation where we had to follow through with that. Okay, and you know, we can all say, "Yeah, you know, I'd be just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, I'm going to bow down and God's going to save me, but if he doesn't, that's okay." But if it came down to it, would we still do the same? Because those are the people that God can use. Those are the people that God does you. Are you ready? Am I ready? Well, I think we'd all like to think so. And probably most of us hope we never have to make that kind of a stand. And if you feel that way, you're not alone. But we're told in Psalm 23:4, it's very familiar, so I'll give it to you in the message. It's maybe not as familiar. "Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid. When you walk at my side, your trusty shepherd's hook makes me feel secure." Father, we thank you for being with us, no matter what. And Lord, I lift up my brothers and sisters that know you, that love you. But Lord, at the same time, they've maybe gotten kind of soft, I guess, in their beliefs, soft in their faith. And I have to put myself in that category a lot of times. Then, you know, I like to think I'm a person of great faith, but sometimes I'm really not. So Lord, be with us and make us stronger. Lord, we all pray that we will never be in a situation that we have to choose between the world and you, and our life depends on it. That if we say that we're a Christian, that somebody's going to take our life. You know, nobody wants to be in that situation. But Lord, give us the strength, give us the faith to know that you'll not let that happen. Or if it does happen, that that's okay, because we'll be with you. And Lord, I lift up anybody that may possibly be listening that doesn't know you and somehow happened to stumble onto this podcast. Lord, let them know that becoming a Christian, you know, doesn't put you in that rose garden. That, you know, we still have trials and struggles, maybe even more than before. Because we still have the struggles from before, and now we've got to sometimes kind of fight for our faith or stand up for our faith. But Lord, let the unbeliever know that once they give their life to you, that no matter what their struggle is, or no matter what their struggles may be in the future, that they're not going to be in that alone. That when they get thrown into that furnace, that you're there to meet them, and you're there to help them, and you're there to give them the strength that they need to get through it. Sometimes it may seem like, you know, it's impossible to get through, and without your strength it is. So Father, if there's anyone that doesn't know you, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know your Son Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And, you know, the title of this message was Fire Escape, and probably a lot of people thought that's what it was going to be about, salvation, you know, escaping hell. And that wasn't it. But that's what salvation does for us. It does help us escape the fires of an eternal hell. And so if somebody needs to know, you know, well, what do I got to do? Well, this is what you got to do. You got to know that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. That he came to earth and was born of a virgin. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't have to make sense. Faith makes it make sense. Because he was born of the virgin. He lived his life as an example for us. He faced every sin that there was out there as he lived. And never once did he fall. And so when he went to that cross, he died for sin. But because he had no sin, the sin that he died for was ours. So Father, let us know that the sin that took Jesus Christ to the cross was not just the sin of his disciples and those that lived at that time, but it was a sin of you and me today. And that he did die on that cross. And that he was put into a borrowed tomb. And that 3 days later he rose from the dead. And he was seen by his disciples and he said, I'm coming back. He said, I don't know when, but when the Father says, now's the time, I'll be here. And you need to be ready when I get here. Because after I get here, it's too late. Okay, the decision needs to be made now. So, Father, I just pray that if there's anyone that doesn't know that and doesn't believe that, that today will be the day that they believe it. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen.